Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Now, you might have read in the news recently that Ireland had the highest rate of HIV diagnosis in Western Europe last year. Well, we thought we better find out why, and who better to ask than co-founder of Access to Medicines Ireland, Robbie Lawler, is in the studio. How's it going?
I'm good. It's always great to be in here. Thanks for having me back.
Always lovely to have you. Okay, now, lots of people would have been surprised by that headline. So what is behind the figures? Tell us.
I know. It may seem scary, okay? Because we did have 884 HIV notifications, and that's the largest that we've ever had. Now, but let's break that down, okay? Let's make it a lot less scary. 62% of the HIV notifications were from people who lived abroad, had HIV there, came to Ireland, made Ireland a home, and they just started treatment here, started linked to care.
So that's the majority. 62%. That's big. Okay.
So that's a large amount. But the real interesting number here is that 20% of the HIV notifications, that's roughly around 173 people, had first diagnosis. So that just indicates that's the level of transmission in this country. For me, is still unacceptably high.
Okay. Okay. And that's the worry.
That's the worry, right? Because we want to get to zero new HIV infections by 2030. That's what we signed up for. That's our target. And zero AIDS-related deaths. Unfortunately, last year, around 3 people sadly lost their lives to AIDS, when that should not be the case whatsoever. Because we have the treatment now, okay? And it's brilliant treatment. It's one pill a day. It's taking a tic-tac. Zero side effects. And I always say I'm going to outlive everyone as much as I can.
You
and I can pass
are.
It on. So it's a real
so
game changer.
3 deaths. I mean, that's what we should be concerned about, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. The issue is people aren't getting tested. And sadly, HIV affects their immune system, and we try and get them on treatment straight away, but it takes a while for your immune system to get back up once you start treatment, and sometimes it's too late for people. So that's why we always encourage people to know your status. Ignorance isn't bliss.
Okay, so late diagnosis is a real issue. Can you remind us what U equals U, that message,
yes.
What is that?
I sing this from the rooftop. Honestly, I say it probably 20 times a day. I'm sick of hearing it myself. So it stands for undetectable equals untransmittable. So I take one medication and it stops HIV from replicating in my body, right? So it lays asleep. So I have HIV that's asleep in my brain and in my gut. So I take it every day just to make sure there's enough concentration of the medicines in my body to keep my HIV asleep. So that means that because it's asleep in my body, there's undetectable levels of HIV in my body. We just can't find it. But that means we're untransmittable, as in we can't pass it on. The risk is zero. We can't pass it on sexually, and we can have kids without fear of passing on HIV. I'm with my boyfriend 10 years now, and we were actually part of the study to show conclusively that you goes you, which was a very funny experience. But it's just one pill a day.
And he doesn't have to take any medication or anything?
Not at all. Okay. Are you kidding me?
That's
like,
incredible.
No condoms in a relationship. Yeah. I'm actually the safest person to have sex with, not to pass on HIV. I keep telling him he should say thank you after we have sex all the time.
Yes.
It's the people who don't
know
this.
For many reasons.
Yeah, well.
And it's good to hear your story again and again and just remind people. And that's why, sorry, that those three deaths that you mentioned at the top of this is kind of really resonate with me, because it is preventable. It shouldn't happen at all. Now, for people who don't follow the story that closely, what does transfer of care mean? What does that mean?
So we have gorgeous people who decide to make Ireland a home from Latin America, for Eastern Europe, Ukraine, of course, and Sub-Saharan Africa. And basically, it just means that they were linked to care in those countries and they were on treatment. Then they come to Ireland and be set up here. So it's just transferring their care from their country of origin to Ireland.
Okay.
But the good news is these people are undetectable, right? So they're not passing it on. So they're here just taking one pill a day and living life like the rest of us. And
Absolutely.
We have children without for passing on HIV.
They're not the danger, because they're a transfer of care.
Exactly.
They're getting the care they needed and taking that amazing medicine. Mm-hmm. Now, as a campaigner, does the way that the figures are reported on, does that frustrate you? I mean, should it be done with more care?
I think it's quite a smart move, to be honest, because I think it's a kick up the bum to the HSE to realise, actually, we need more funding into the HIV services. We need more HIV doctors and sexual health nurses, because we have lots of people living with HIV in this country, and we all need care. We all need to see a doctor twice a year. We need to invest in these services. It makes sense for procurement of medicine reasons. So it does make sense. We just need to be careful how we talk about it in the media, to say, these are the numbers, but actually, these are the real transmission numbers, and there's not people transferring care. It's just that we're not doing enough to make sure that people know their status in this country, and particularly heterosexual people.
Wow.
Yeah, they don't think they can get HIV. So let's talk about the late diagnosis that we mentioned earlier, okay? From 2022, we found out that around 50% of people had a CD4 count of 350 at point of diagnosis. That means that 50% of people who got diagnosed, first point of diagnosis, had HIV in their system for years without knowing it. Years and years and years. So they're doing their own body damage and they're passing it on. Now, if we break down that more, 70% of heterosexual men who got diagnosed with HIV in Ireland were late diagnosis. They are the highest. It's around 60% for women, heterosexual women. So that means they're more likely to develop AIDS-defining illnesses too.
Because they think they can't get HIV?
I was talking to a woman there a few weeks ago and she was just recently diagnosed. This amazing woman, and I'm going to be best friends with her for life. She's fabulous. But anyway, she said to me, she's like, Robbie, no offense, but how did I get that? I thought that was a gay thing. And I hear that from women all the time. Women only really find out they have HIV when they're pregnant, because it's an opt-out test when you're pregnant. But it's great news is because we can start them on treatment and they won't pass it on to their child then. So it's great news. But that's how generally women find out, because they don't think it's for them. And then they get an AIDS-defining illness and to present with late-stage HIV. So we start them on treatment to make sure we don't have that AIDS-defining illness anymore, and then deliver HIV and can live a very fulfilling and happy life. But they just don't think that HIV can affect them still to this day.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
That is crazy. Okay, you were at a ceremony for the new HIV Memorial in Phoenix Park recently.
Yes.
Did you get to have a word with any government figures there on the day? Did you have a little word?
I did. I feel like I just keep giving out to the government. And well, there's a lot to give out, but there's a lot to celebrate too. In fairness to Leo Varadkar, he was really supportive of the AIDS Memorial from the very beginning. And it was an absolutely beautiful ceremony, the unveiling of the AIDS Memorial. And I implore everyone to go and visit it. It's in the Park Gate Street entrance of the Phoenix Park. Really, really beautiful. So when I seen Leo over a glass of Prosecco, of course, because we're in the lovely family house there. And I was like, Leo, you just said that you're given 600,000 to PrEP in 2024. We say that as if it's a great thing, but we don't have any new PrEP appointments. Anyone who wants to get on PrEP can't get it in this country. And yet we still have 173 people being diagnosed with HIV. I'm like, this is a priority. Just throwing money at a broken problem isn't going to fix it. So he knows, as well as I do, the issue is the PrEP providers are sexual health nurses or sexual health clinics.
Yeah, explain PrEP to people who don't know.
Okay,
yeah.
PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's basically a HIV drug we give to HIV negative people.
Yes.
And if they take it as prescribed, whether it's every day or event-based dosing, and they're exposed to HIV, there's a little under 100% chance they will not get HIV. It is an absolute game changer. That's how we stop it. We got everyone to know their status, because everyone has a HIV status. And if you're HIV positive, we get you undetectable, you can't pass it on. If you're HIV negative, high risk, we put you on PrEP, you can't get HIV. So this is how we reach zero new HIV infections. This is how we do it. But we can't get more people to do it because we don't have as much HIV doctors or nurses to be able to dispense it. It's a systematic issue. So we need to be really creative. How do we give this treatment to people? How do we get it outside HIV clinics? How do we get more PrEP providers? That's where community comes in. Mm. Work with us. We'll get it out to communities who need it most.
Okay. And he listened.
He listened,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. He listened.
Well, it's a systematic thing. We don't have HIV doctors and nurses here because they can't afford accommodation or they don't get paid well, so they're all going up to Australia, Canada. Mm-hmm. This is a systematic issue.
Yeah.
But he needs to listen that there's other modalities of how we get PrEP out there. We need to think outside the box if we're really going to reach that target.
And fundamentally, for anybody who's listening, you need to get tested. You need to know your status. That is basically, fundamentally, the most important thing, right?
Yeah. Do you know what? When I was 19, 20, I was turned away twice because I was ticket number 31 and 32 out of 30 tickets. And I had HIV in my body then. I wish I got diagnosed earlier because I wouldn't have done more damage to my body. Now it's easier than ever to get tested, ever. So you can get at-home testing kits, sh24.ie. We've all done self-swabbing during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's the exact same. And you prick your finger for a blood sample and it's all free. Comes to your door, you do it yourself in your bathroom, get your friend to help you if you need it. And then just free post and you put it in the post box and you get your results in 5 days by text, or they call you to say, come in, we're going to treat you for chlamydia, gonorrhea or HIV. All very treatable, manageable. What we're really, really pushing for is opt-out testing in emergency departments. In the UK, it's been so successful because, again, people don't think that they need to get tested for HIV because we don't feel symptoms of HIV unless we get an AIDS fine illness. Mm-hmm. So people go to A&E just for whatever reason, never broken leg, and they do viral screens for hepatitis B, C and HIV. And it's been so effective in studies in Ireland and in the UK, so good that it's gone to 46 departments just recently. That's how we got all these hard, underserved populations. These are people who genuinely don't think the HIV affects them. They go to A&E with a broken arm, they come out with HIV and hepatitis C diagnosis. But we treat them because otherwise they might get an AIDS final illness and that's a lot harder to overcome.
Sure.
So it's great news if you get HIV diagnosis because you know that you're getting treatment, zero side effects, you just go on with your life.
It's as easy as that.
It's really as easy as that.
Robbie for president.
Let's do it.
Listen, before you do that, tell us, because you were in talking about your movie. We talked about it on this very show. Yeah. But it's on Netflix.
Jan.
You are on Netflix.
You're talking
friend.
To a Netflix star now. Are you,
you
starstruck?
Are. I am a little bit. But it's so cool. So go on, give it a good plug. If you're going to watch something over the weekend, this is the one to watch.
Absolutely. Right. So we all talk about how preventing HIV, but we never actually talk about what it's like to live with HIV in contemporary Ireland. Normally what we see is white gay men dying of AIDS, right? And that's not people's experiences. These stories absolutely still need to be told. But it's like, how do we tell people? It's the hardest thing when you live with HIV. If you're dating someone in Dundalk, you know, or your mom is from, you know, west of Ireland, a little bit homophobic, how do you tell her you also have HIV? It's a bit tricky. How do you tell your church? How do you tell your children that you live with HIV? How do children who were born with HIV tell their schoolmates, or should they? So it's all about how we navigate disclosure, why we do tell or why we don't tell it. It's not preachy. It's just giving you a good snapshot of what it's like to live with HIV in Ireland today. People of all genders, all sexualities are represented in it. And my mom's in it.
Oh!
She is the star of the show.
She's in it.
Yeah, she's in it. I called her up and I found out. I was like, Mam, we're going to be on Netflix. She can't even go to Centra now without people going up to her. She's amazing.
I love it. Well, Robbie Lawler, co-founder of Access to All Medicines Ireland and movie star.
That's it.
Thank you so much.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.